All right, good morning, Kingdom Church. All right, I didn't know how to cue that bumper because I'm not up here that often, okay? But I get the privilege to wrap up our series, and I'm glad and I'm excited. And I don't know about you guys, but I get excited for the things of God, okay? And I'm used to being in kids' church, okay, and they get loud and they get rowdy, but you know what? I get an amen. I get a hallelujah over there all the time, okay? So I'm expecting that from you guys here, okay? They know. The more I get excited, the faster I go and the faster I'm done. So they keep yelling, okay? And I just might have some candy in my pocket, so watch out for flying candy, all right? All right, no. It's been an awesome series. You guys been loving our series? I think everybody that's been up here has been awesome. You know, the prior weeks we learned, Lord's people were taken out of Egypt. Right? God took his people and made a way for them, right? And he freed them from Egypt to be an established nation, right? We got to that point. Then he brought the laws down for them. And says Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, right? And then we learned that the first four were our relationship with God, right? And the next six were our relationship with each other, correct? Love God, love people. Jesus broke it down, okay? And Pastor Brian, you know, touched on being a personal God and our heart issues. Pastor Claire, on the Sabbath, a righteous rest. And I almost quit my job, okay? Or was thinking about stepping down from ministry because I was like, Sundays are my Sabbath, but I've had family visiting. It's been a crazy couple months, but I'm back to it, okay? So thank you, okay? And Pastor Nick, you know, our pursuit for holiness, and we misapply what we don't understand, okay? And he talked about makeup. I don't know why, okay? But everybody's come back to the point that the Ten Commandments were made to set God's people apart, to show us to be holy as he is holy, right? Deuteronomy 14:2 says this, "For you are people holy to the Lord your God. Out of all the peoples in the face of the earth, the Lord has chosen you to be his treasured possession." Amen, right? And then you say, hey, that's the Old Testament, but I still hold on to that for myself. I'm a chosen people, right? But for the New Testament church, the modern day believer, the Ten Commandments reveal our sins, how we fall short, the struggle within, and the importance of God's saving grace through Jesus Christ's work on the cross. Can we get an amen to that? Right? Romans 7:7, Paul states it this. He says, the law is holy. We hold on to that. We wouldn't have known sin. I wouldn't know what covet was if he had not shown me. And then later on down, it breaks it down there. We're tied to it. We're bound to it, like in marriage, right? Until your spouse dies, until you guys are married, there's a covet right there between you guys. And until you're born again, you're stuck to that law. You're stuck to the old ways. And a little bit farther down, it says in Romans 7:21 through 25, says this, "So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from the body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen. Can we say grace? Amen. Praise God, right? All right, so let's wrap up the last two commandments. I got 9 and 10. Okay, and the ninth commandment says this. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Pretty simple. And it says, commandment number 9, it's twofold. It's do not lie in a court of law. And in its simplest form, do not lie. Period. That's it, right? But in the Bible, we see Abraham lied to Pharaoh about Sarah being his sister, not his wife. Rahab lied to protect the Israelite spies in Jericho. Peter lied when he denied Christ three times. What about modern day? What do we do now? Modern day white lies. Buddy, it's kind of quiet. Right? Last week, we were at a family function. My beautiful wife, Shannon, her grandmother turned 90. Right? So sometimes she picks out my clothes. Okay? There was a shirt. I thought it was kind of tight. And I asked her, babe, is this too tight? She's like, no, it looks good. Okay? Halfway through the party, after lunch, there's like two buttons loose right here. I'm like, babe, you lied to me. Just because it matched your outfit, right? Okay, that's a lie, right? And sometimes in some couples or some instances, right, somebody might make you upset. Say your spouse, I don't know. And they ask you, are you upset? And you don't want to say you're upset because then they're going to get upset. And then both of you guys will be upset. It's going to be worse. So you lie like, no, I'm good, right? It happens, right, to some people, not to us, though, right? Thank God. Praise God, right? But a lie is a lie. Sin is sin. And there is a severity to this. In Deuteronomy 19, 16 through 21, it states, I'm not going to read it all, but if my... You got to call two or three people to bear witness. Okay, it's not just the witness of one person. So whether that person is stated to lose something, say a donkey, an ox, a house, their life, my witness makes me liable to lose what that person was going to lose if it is false. Okay, so I'm going to lose. If my witness is false, I am bound to either die or give up what that person was going to lose because of my false witness. Okay, and it also states down in Deuteronomy 17, 6 through 7, that if my testimony finds this person at fault and they're going to be put to death because of something they did, and my word finds them guilty, my hands have to be the first one to bring death upon this person, to bring that judgment upon them. So it's my word and my character that is here in the middle of that, in the court of law, in what it says here. And also, commandment number 9 is one of the things the Lord hates. And in Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, it says this. There are 16 the Lord hates, 7 that are detestable to him. Haughty lies, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. It's insane, right? It's pretty quiet. Everybody say grace. Grace, okay? And as I was studying this, it's like one of those topics that Jesus doesn't directly talk about. Right, we see there's examples of people bearing false witness throughout the Old Testament and in the New Testament. You know, the chief priest tried to bear false witness against Jesus in the Sanhedrin. Okay, and then Stephen got stoned in the New Testament in Acts due to a false witness against him. Paul, on his missionary journey, was also stoned but escaped due to a false witness. And Ananias fell down. Died after lying to the Holy Spirit about holding money back and selling land. So there's still a severity to this, right? And even though Jesus doesn't directly talk about this, or I think he does say about us being holy, about us being set apart. The scriptures are clear that as believers in Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, we are a new creation called to be honest, walk in righteousness, and bear witness of what Christ has done and is doing in our lives. Amen? So Ephesians 4, 23 to 25 says this. To be made new in the attitude of your minds and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off your falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. For For we are all members of one body. There's a newness. I accept Christ into my heart. The Holy Spirit is at work in me already. I might not be perfect, but I'm called to act and walk in that righteousness. Colossians 3, 9 through 10 says this. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Amen. Right? So there's a shift. There's still a severity. We're still called to walk in righteousness. What's the difference? We're covered in his righteousness. It's through Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross, that matters. That sets us apart. Yeah, there is still a severity. There is still a way we should act, a way we should walk, right? But it's through Christ that we have that forgiveness, that we can come back to him. Amen? Romans 8, 16 says this. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And 2 Corinthians 5:21, I just love this one, and I don't get it, but I hold on to it like a promise, and I'm like, this is how I need to be. And it says this, God made him who had no sin to be a sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. Amen. Do you guys understand that at all? How can I be the righteousness of God? It's what Jesus did, okay? So no matter what you look at here, you see, I'm a fallen man. I am a sinner. Don't get me wrong. But I'm covered by the blood of Christ. I hold on to the promise of what Jesus did on the cross. I hold on to the promise that I am changed, that I am righteous because he is righteous, because that's what God sees. Doesn't matter what we see. We need to see us through what he sees through his eyes, not us. So I got a question for you. What witness do we bear? Are we walking in his righteousness? It's a question to ask yourself. Are we representing what Christ has done through us? I'm not trying to flip this. We're called to be different. We're called to bear witness. Amen? You get amen. Everybody say grace. Okay? I want this to be good. Okay, leading us to the cross, all right? Exodus, the 10th commandment, says this. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Anybody ever covet your neighbor's donkey or ox? Right? I know some people here have farms. I don't know. That might happen, right? But to covet is to lust after or to long for with great desire. This will steal your joy and keep you from being grateful. And, you know, all the other commandments, do not steal, do not idle, do not bear false witness. Like every single one is an action or a behavior. Put a God, another God before you. This one right here is just a thought. It's just thinking in your head. It has nothing to do with what you're doing. It's about something that you can do or maybe want to do. Maybe in the wrong circumstances, you will break the other commandments just by focusing and putting your thinking on the wrong things. It's pretty insane, right? Pretty crazy. But you know, even if it's not to that severity, right? Jesus said, you look at a woman, you've already lusted, you've already committed adultery, right? So if I'm lusting over my neighbor's spouse, that's already adultery right there. I've already broken one of the Ten Commandments. Okay, belongings. If I want their ox, I want their donkey, their boat, their car, whatever. It's like, it's okay. You know what? I want better things. I want new things. I'm happy that you have it. Okay, that's good. But if it's to the point where I might be in the wrong situation, I might ask something, I might just grab something because I want it. Hey, they can afford it. I'll just take this. You know, or hey, either way, if it gets to that point or not, You're probably stealing your joy, robbing your joy, focusing on what others, somebody else has, right? And then wealth. I want to have that thing. I want that bigger house. I want what they have. I want, and I'm working and I'm grinding. I work a lot. I'm not going to tell you I do, okay? But if that's your focus, then that's your God. If that's all I care about, that's what I'm bowing down to. Okay, so it is that thought, that process, and staying in that process that will cause me to break all of the other commandments. And even in the act of just desiring what other people have, we can't forget about the blessings we have and can become ungrateful. Do you guys know the term keeping up with the Joneses? You guys know that? It's like focusing on what your neighbor has, or kind of they buy the new house, the new toy. You want to go and you want to buy the new toy. Hey, they got the new Tahoe, the Denali. They got the new car, the new boat. And it's like, man, I'm over here with a bucket. I'm over here barely getting by. I need to go buy a battery because my car is not even running right now. You know, but it's stealing my joy focusing on what they have. The world has a saying that comparison is the thief of joy. Correct? I added this one here. I kind of thought about this. I coined this myself. Your food is getting cold watching what others have on their plate. Okay? That's a good one, right? Can you add on there, Pastor Miguel? Brown Bag Sunday, yep. So the thought is like, you know what? We might be bearing fruit. They might bear more fruit over there at that church. They might be doing bigger, better things at that ministry. But you know what? Their fruit might be a little bitter, okay? Our fruit might be a little, but it is sweet, okay? And I'm focused and I'm grateful for what I have. You know what? They're able to go out and they're gone for a whole week. But you know what? I come back to a loving home and a loving family that I don't have to escape from, okay? That I love with all my heart. That God has blessed me in a place where I'm at peace, where I can come with together with believers and worship and not worry about what anybody else is doing, because I'm happy and I'm content where the Lord has me. What is my portion? What am I doing right here? Not what they're doing, not what they do with their time, but where I'm at in life. That's where we need to be, church. Our focus needs to be on the Lord and what he has for us, the direction that he has set. His word says he has directed the path of his righteousness. Let's look for that path, not what other people have, where he has told us to go, where he has moved, what he has entrusted in my hands. Amen. And each of us has our portion. And we bring it together collectively, and we are a blessing to this house, to our homes, to our families, and to our community. Amen? Yeah. Amen. I have here, we need to keep an attitude of gratitude and keep a focus on what the Lord has provided or portioned for us. The blessings will come. And this is nothing, there's scripture that says, what should we focus on? What should our focus on? And it says Philippians 4, 8 through 9 says this. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. Put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 says this, living as those made alive in Christ. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. What are our thoughts fixed on, church? What do our actions say? Are we grateful for what we do have? It's hard, right? Sometimes in the day-to-day, in my own life, in the busyness of life, anybody who's ever prayed for me, I'm always like, hey, I'm juggling. I got a lot going. There's a lot. Hey, I just need to refocus. I find myself through my day just coming back, hey, Lord, you know what? None of this matters, but it's my responsibility. This is what I got to do. What do you want? What do you have for me? What do I need to do? Help me. Just to kind of take a step back and focus on him. And, you know, bringing it back to the Ten Commandments. There are laws, there are purposes that we're bound to. Either way, wherever we put our trust in, if your trust is in Christ, or if you just want to say, hey, I trust in God, you need to trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. Or else we're bound to that law. We're bound to what those words say. Do not covet, do not lie, do not bear false witness. And I think everybody in here is guilty of that. Amen. Well, not amen, but we're freed from that. Amen to that, right? Okay. But I want to bring it back to this and share a testimony. A couple years into my walk, and I'm doing everything. I have a hunger. I have a passion for the things of God, right? So there's Bible studies. There's prayer, you know, days, and I'm like, I want to be there all the time, and I want to grow, and I want to learn, and all these things, and it's like everything else in my life was kind of falling apart. Like, I'm doing all the things that are good, all my focus is right here, but everything is just kind of dwindling. You know, I know there's a pruning, I know there's a little fire you got to walk through, there's valleys, and there's mountaintops, and I'm in the valley. But I have that peace that surpasses understanding. And I'm like, I'm good. This is where I'm going to go. And I remember going to a Bible study. And man, praise God for those two or three that show up, even though when nobody else shows up. And I walk into this Bible study. And I sit there. And we have an awesome time. And, you know, thank God for them, because I'm here because of them. You know, and sit there, pray. Then I leave that Bible study. And it's like they only did the Bible study. And then there was a prayer group. And the prayer group, there's only a few people there too. You know, it's like they should have combined it. Done a bigger class and a bigger prayer service, right? But they did it because they wanted to do Bible study. And I went to that. And then they had the prayer service. And I leave there. I was like, you know what? I need prayer. Just thoughts of inadequacy. Thoughts of covetousness. Thoughts of lust. Just all of these things that I knew I should not be thinking. It's like, I just got done with Bible study. I just got done with prayer in a good place. And in my spirit, I'm just feeling all of these things just kind of going through my head and just kind of, you know, enemies attacking. You know, feel alone. Feel I'm not on the right track, or I'm not where I'm supposed to be. And so I walk into this prayer service and they're like, hey, Miguel, can we pray for you? And I'm like, yeah, you know what? Just having a hard day. Just a lot at work. You know, just real kind of not sharing anything. You know, not the thoughts in my mind. You know, praise God, I don't share that because I probably wouldn't have any friends or anybody around me. But, you know, I just kind of on the surface stuff. And they go through and they go and they pray for me. And then, you know, just pray over me, pray over my work and everything else. And just, you know, lovely prayer, good prayer. And I feel good. But these thoughts are still going through my mind. And I'm thinking of this inadequacy. I'm thinking of these lustful things. I'm thinking about all the things that I should have that, you know, I don't have anymore. And I say in my head, God, I don't want to think this. You know my heart. Take these thoughts away from me. In my heart, in my mind, I'm not saying this out loud. And then all of a sudden you hear somebody praying in tongues. And I'm like, I've heard that before. Cool. And I just get my thought, like, Lord, I don't want, not even paying attention. And then somebody else starts praying in tongues. And then I'm looking and I'm like, whoa, this is kind of getting serious. You know, they have to have a word, you know, and somebody makes out the word. It's like, I know your heart. You control your thoughts. And everybody was like, repent, repent. Everybody's falling to the ground. And my heart just fell because I knew that was me. I didn't say that out loud. God knew what I was thinking. He knew what I had said. He knew what I had felt in my heart. And in that moment, I just fell to my knees and I just said, thank you. Lord, I will follow you. I will control these thoughts and bring them captive to you. And that's what his word says. I stand, you know what? I am saved by grace. I am walking in a newness. Lord God, I don't want to think like this. I rebuke these thoughts in the name of Jesus. I bound these things, Father God. I bind them in the name of Jesus, and I cast them out of my mind. And to this day, my mind still goes to those places sometimes. 30-something years of walking wrong, the Lord is still working. And I find myself, you know what? That's not what a Christian would do. That's not Christ-like. Lord God, here, I bind this in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that thought. Get out of here. I'm going to get my word, and I'm going to open something up. But it was in that moment, and I praise God. I've had words spoken over me. I have these instances. But in that moment, that one time, I knew that regardless of what was going on in my head, my heart was his. And he knew that no matter what. You know what? This here, I want to bring a submission to you. I knew there is grace, but we need to repent. We need to submit our old selves and way of thinking to him. Regardless of, hey, I am made brand new. I am walking in his righteousness, but there is still an old flesh, just like Paul said. Whether it's a thorn in your flesh, a storm you're going through, or a cross you need to bear, you need to bring that to Jesus and make sure he is helping you carry that. He is helping you deal with that sin, okay? Not just, hey, I am free and that's gone and these are just thoughts. Like, no, I'm not supposed to be like this. I'm not supposed to think like this. Jesus made me new. We are in Christ, saved by grace, and are being continually renewed by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Though I put my faith in Christ, I am changed, I am new, but there is going to be a process that I need to walk through. There's going to be a process, things that I need to submit to the Lord. Okay? And I need to do it with my brothers, with my church family, here in community. Okay, there's some things that I can't carry by myself that I need somebody to be sharing with, that I need somebody to be praying with me. I have a beautiful, awesome wife that has been praying with me that we have an awesome connection. I don't think I even need friends anymore, okay? But there's some things that I'm going to share with her. So, yeah, I do need some friends, right? You know, but it's through us, through community, having somebody there to help us to be there. Hey, brother. Can you pray with me? Hey, brother, I'm feeling this. You know, there's the weight of the work. There's the weight of the man that he's carrying, that umbrella that he's got to hold up, that he's right here and all the kids and the family and everybody. And you know what? Sometimes you don't want to tell your wife what you're going through, what you're feeling, okay? But your brothers know what you're going through, so lift them up, okay? I'm here for you guys, and anybody here in the pastoral staff is, okay? And it's only through Christ and his saving work on the cross that we will be renewed, that we will be changed, that we will be walking in true righteousness. Okay? Unless you're walking with the Lord like Enoch, unless a chariot of fire comes down to pick you up and swoop you up away, there's still more work to be done in each and every one of us. Okay? And we need to come back to that refining fire and say, Lord, cleanse me. Lord, take this away from me. Whether it's just the struggle, whether it's that thorn, the storm. Where's Russ at? Still in his fire, okay? Or a storm or a cross that you're carrying, right? We need the Holy Spirit to work in us. It's only through submission through him. Have you put your trust in God and called on the name of Jesus Christ? Have we truly walked and turned from our sins to come back to him? Are we seeking him and his righteousness through his word, through prayer? Or are we just coming Sundays every once in a while and feeling good and then go live our lives the way we want to throughout the week? We're all guilty of it. We get busy. I know I had to come back. Hey, you want to do my devotional today? I got to sit down and do my devotional before I go to bed. I got to sit down. I got to pray. We all go through it. Everybody here. Everybody say grace. Grace, right? 2 Corinthians 10 through 5 says this. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm not perfect. I know nobody in here is. Okay? I know what the Ten Commandments shows me. I know what my mind and my thinking shows me. But I know what Christ did on the cross. And at the end of the day, it's good for us to know what the Ten Commandments are. It's good for us to know the laws and the practices and the character of God. You know, I think the more that we know, the more that we learn about the character and the attributes of God, especially when it comes to his saving work on the cross, the more we do is love him. The more we do is hold on to that grace, okay, in submission, not knowing, not trying to live the way the world lives. And I want to end with this. It's been a great series. I think we've all come back to this, to the pursuit of holiness, the pursuit of walking, right? Whether it's in your thought mind, whether it's in your actions, all we got to do is lay it down at the foot of the cross. That's only if you've put your faith in Jesus. If you truly haven't repented or even heard about the person of Jesus Christ, this is what the word says. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. We all lied, right? We all coveted. Sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It says this, if we declare with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I hope and I pray everybody here has given their life to Christ. Because you are bound to something. You put your faith in something, whether it's yourself, whether it's if it's a God or a religion that you think. But if it's not in the saving work of Jesus Christ on the cross, him dying for your sins, you've broken this. You're bound to this. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, this is God's word, and this word is true. From the beginning of the time and until now, this is truth, and we can't sway around from this, church. And if you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, praise God. Can we get a shout of praise for that? For what God has done, for the grace that has been poured out onto each and every one of you? But let's look around at our families, at our communities, at our places of work. There are people that are bound to this. There are people that are falling away. And we need to do what the Lord has portioned us to do and testify what he has done in our lives. I just want to take this moment and just end in prayer, kind of just bring it back. Like I said, I do all the time. Just bring it back. Hey, Lord, what do you have for me? I put my trust in you. And if you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, I ask you this morning, just come up here, talk to one of us, and let us walk you through this. Jesus says he is the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through him. Father is God. There's only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. We all stand to our feet. Sort of bow our heads and just kind of in our own thoughts, in our own minds, just kind of focus on his grace, on his love, and his goodness. Dearly Father, we just come before you, Lord God, just humbly. knowing, Lord God, that for some of us here, Lord God, you have opened up our eyes, Father God, to the things of you, and we are thankful and grateful, Lord, for what you have done, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for those times that you have spoken into our lives, Father God. I thank you, Lord, for those that just hold on to faith, Lord God, just knowing, Lord God, that this is true, Father God. Without those instances of you speaking, without those instances of your Holy Spirit filling them, Father God, and they just stand by faith, by what your word says, Father God, and I just thank you, Lord, for that. Father God, in this moment, Lord God, we just yield. We just submit, Father God. All the things of us, Father God, all the things that keep us from you, Father God, we just bring it back, Lord God, and we just rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father God, we submit, Lord God, all our thinking, our wrong thinking, our wrongdoing, Father God, to you in this moment, Lord God, and asking you, Father God, to just refine us as you have started, Father God. Your word says that you are just to forgive, Father God, and that you will continue the work that you have begun, Father God. In this moment, Lord, we ask for that. Refine us. Change us, Father God. Just like in the book of Job, Father God, when we go through the refining fire, we want to come forth as gold, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for that. Lord God, I pray for each and every mind in this place, Father God, that struggles with faith, Father God, struggles with their own self, Father God, struggles with their own identity, Father God. I pray, Lord God, that you, Lord God, let it be known that you are God. Your spirit is indwelling. You are living and you are here with us in this moment, Father God. I pray over the mind and the heart, Lord God, that struggles, Father God, in this moment. Father God, I pray for each and every one of my brothers, Father God, in Christ, Lord God, that you just continue to fill them with your spirit, that the fire just continue to burn, Father God, that you just, in this moment, Father, give them a passion, Lord God, for the things of you, Father God, so that we can walk out what you have purposed us to do, Father God. We stand on the promises, Lord God, that you direct the path of your righteousness, Father God. We want to stand and walk in that way, Father God. Though the plans of man are many, Father God, your will prevail, Father God. And that's what we hold on to this morning, Father God. It is you and you alone that deserve the praise, that deserve the honor, Father God. And we ask these things, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. We rebuke anything that is not of you, Father God. And we just walk in that newness that you have provided and that you have set forth before us, Father God. We thank you and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen. Been a great morning, church. Been a great morning. And I just feel good about what we have here at Kingdom Church. There's a true surrender, true hearts that just want the things of God. And what's to come is going to be exciting. If we just hold on to focus what we have, what the Lord has provided for us to take care of. Amen. And you guys are awesome. Today is Brown Bag Sunday. So what that means, go get your lunch, come back to the church, go get some pizza at Brooklyn V, some Chinese food over here, Taco Bell, Jack in the Box, whatever you want. And let's just all hang out in community. Amen. All right. Love you guys. God bless.